Reading Psalm 100. Psalm 100. This is God's holy word. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with jubilation. Come before Him with rejoicing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courtyards with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His faithfulness is to all generations. The word of the Lord, and it will please the Lord by His Holy Spirit to transform it in our lives into service for Himself. Amen. Psalm 100 is the only psalm with this title, a psalm of thanksgiving. Isn't that interesting? Now, we read Psalm 105, the opening verses to begin this morning as our call to worship. So it's not the only psalm that is about thanksgiving, but it's the only psalm that has this title. And if we had included the title in the printing here, it would have been right at the top, right? The first thing you would see, a psalm, or a song, if you will, of thanksgiving. So, we have a very strong warrant for looking to this passage for guidance in our day of thanksgiving here in America, here in Brookdale. Now, there is no command in Scripture for Israel or for any other nation to have a Thanksgiving Day. So, in our worship, we always want to do what God's Word requires of us. But there are some things that are allowed in our worship that are not specifically given as commandments, such as, you shall have a day of thanksgiving. Some of Israel's feast days, like the feast that had to do with harvests, the feast of what we call Pentecost, or the first fruits, and then the last feast of the year, which was the Feast of Tabernacles, those were, by implication, feasts or days, if you will, of thanksgiving, because the harvest had come in, the people were very thankful. And of course, we associate our own Thanksgiving Day with a giving of thanks that finally the New England settlers that had come over from Europe had gotten a harvest. Now, of course, there were Native Americans before, and they had had their own harvest, though they weren't particularly aware of the true and living God. And maybe they were appreciative in some way of what they received. But these Europeans who came over were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the God of the Bible. And so they asked the Native Americans to come and join them for a feast, if you will, of thanksgiving. And the pilgrims, so-called, contributed their dishes, their foods. And the Indians brought some foods, and they had a wonderful feast. That's a true story. It's not made up. It's not apocryphal. They did have that celebration. And ever since that time, there's at least been in the minds of the people of this country, of this land, that there should be a day of thanksgiving. That sometime in the year, particularly around the end of the harvest for most of the country, that this day should take place. We should give thanks to God for blessing us and providing for us. And then, of course, as history moved on from the pilgrims, we have George Washington, for example, calling for a day of thanksgiving. And then we had some other presidents. And finally, our Congress made it an official holiday to have a day of thanksgiving. So even though there's no command of Scripture, it's become a part of our cultural life, and one that is compatible with Scripture, to give God thanks and praise His name for all His goodness to us. And we should have no doubt that God desires our thanksgiving, that he listens for us to give thanks. Perhaps Jesus gave the best example of this when he healed 10 lepers and told them to go and show themselves to the priest. But one, having started on this journey, came back and bowed down before Jesus and thanked him for what he had done. And Jesus said, "Is this the only one?" He said, in effect, he said, "I'm disappointed that more don't give thanks." In both in this particular circumstance, but it's true in general, that when we don't give thanks to God, then he is not happy with us, and he would have us to examine ourselves and say, why are so few of us thankful to him, at least publicly and openly, for all that he has done for us? Yes, the harvest, but also the healing and the other blessings that we enjoy in our lives. Now, of course, many people think they deserve all these things, that we have earned them somehow by meritorious service, or we've earned them because, after all, we're just good people, are we not? And so they think that the idea of thanks is something that, well, maybe you give thanks to God, but also pat yourself on the back a little bit. You've done all these things. But it's not automatic that we have things to be thankful for. That God could punish us for our sins. That we're really undeserving of his blessings to us. And it's only out of his goodness that we have anything for which to give thanks. Now I want us to look at this psalm a little bit, because as I said earlier, it gives us guidance about giving thanks. And let's begin by looking at the identities of the givers of thanks. First of all, it says, give thanks to the Lord all lands, or make a joyful noise to the Lord all the earth. That's not quite an accurate translation. It's not in the plural there. And it doesn't say the earth as such. It says the land. Shout joyfully to the Lord all the land. Now, what land are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Israel. We're talking about the land that God gave, the so-called promised land that God gave to his people. He said, here, it's yours. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And you can have it and enjoy it as long as you're faithful to me. And the writer of the psalm here is saying that all Israel should give thanks. He's not talking about the dirt or the trees. He's talking about the people. So the land is made up of the people. The people are those who have repented of their sins and turned to God. And in the New Testament sense, those who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ to be cleansed from their sins and to find acceptability with God. So the givers of thanks are those who make up the people of God, in other words. Because the land is no longer tied to any spot on earth. If there is a land, you want to use that terminology, there's heaven, but we haven't gotten to heaven yet. So wherever there are the people of God, and wherever they're gathered together in any place, then that's the place, and that's the people to worship God. Now, it would be marvelous if all the earth did so honor the Lord God. But in fact, and we've kind of hinted at this, very few people on any given day give thanks to the Lord. But you should take this verse, I think, as a commandment, this first verse of Psalm 100. Because it doesn't say, maybe you should, or here's a suggestion. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Now, I like the King James translation here. This may be more precise to say shout. We don't do much shouting. Some churches shout, I guess. If you want to shout, go ahead. But King James Version says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I just like that idea that you don't have to shout so much as express yourself enthusiastically. Maybe you'll restrain that a bit, but make your enthusiasm, your energy, your thankfulness known to the Lord who's gathered this people to Himself and made them a people as such. Now, let us read this passage about the people of God and examine a little more closely what we mean by that. First of all, this people as a group, again, not the dirt or the trees, but the people as a group, truly know this God. How so? How do they truly know Him? Because they have had experience of Him. This is an experiential psalm in many ways. They know the Lord. They know the one who has saved them. They have a daily relationship and interaction with Him. And this makes them different from all the other people groups, or lands, if you will, that worship imaginary gods, that worship false gods. The true identity of those who shout joyfully or make a joyful noise to the Lord are those whom He has saved. They know His salvation. They're not idolaters. They're not even sort of sharing their love for God with other nations that have their gods and their philosophies and so forth. They know the true God, the God of the Bible, the God who has come to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a call to thanksgiving for all those who do not go in the way of idols or denying God's existence. These are those who know God, who have a relationship with Him. And if you just stop and think, that's what makes sense. It's silly to say, I'm thanking somebody, something I don't know about, I don't have any idea about. But if you know Him, then you want to give thanks. Now, at the time of its settling in our country here, there were people who claimed, you see, to know the God of the Bible, and they desired to worship Him. And if that were not true, if those first pilgrims who came over had not really known God and desired to worship Him, there wouldn't be any Thanksgiving Day. There might have been something in the history books about a day when the Indians and the settlers got together and had a good time, but then that would have long been forgotten or just a footnote of history. But we have this day every year, all the time. Why? Because those people knew God. And they invited those Native Americans who did not know God to come and join them, and by implication, to learn about God and to have that experience of Him. And so the psalmist says, all of you who are of that frame of mind, all of you who desire to worship the God who has blessed you so much, gather together and express yourselves. Now the psalm gives us several reasons for giving thanks. First of all, God Himself. What does it say here? Know ye, this is verse 3 now, know ye that the Lord Himself is God. He doesn't say, know ye that our God is one of the many gods and maybe the best of all the gods. It says, know that the Lord Himself is God. In other words, the one God, the true God, has revealed Himself to you. You ought to give thanks for that. Because so many other people in the world don't believe that. They don't understand that. They think there are many gods, or they think there's no God. But because God has revealed Himself, and He has done so in no better way than through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a reason to give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for showing us who You are in Your Word. Thank You for sending Jesus to save us. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit who lives within us. That's a reason to give thanks. Know that the Lord Himself is God, is the God who alone rules and reigns and works in this universe. Then we should give thanks because he has made us. Now, you might think, well, he's talking about creation, right? That he took the dust of the ground, he made Adam, he took Adam's rib and made the woman and so forth. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about, first of all, what is represented by that term, the land, that we mentioned earlier. But it's not the dirt and the trees. It's the people. They are a people because God made them to be a people. Before God did that, before God took Abraham and called him out and blessed his children, there wasn't this Israel of God. But because God did that, he made them. He made them this people. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. In other words, we didn't get together and say, let's have a revolution, or let's drive out all the other nations, or let's create this kind of government. God made us what we are. And what a mess we would be in if we thought of it ourselves. If we got together and said, let's have committees and let's all vote on it, and we would come out with something horribly different. But God has made us into the people that love him, and the people that he wants to love him, and the people from whom he wants thanksgiving. He made us to be his people. And he separated us from those people who don't know him, though we want all of those other people to know him. And he's loved us with an everlasting love. So that's the second thing. First of all, is God has made himself known. And then God made us a people. And then give thanks because God is good to us. That's what it says here. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. Now, what ways does he show his goodness? Well, in the harvest and so forth that we were talking about. But he's good in that he hasn't destroyed us when we deserve it. The people that he's made are sinners that he's brought to himself and cleansed by the blood of Christ. God is good to us. He withholds his judgment and he gives us all that we need and he teaches us what is good. We would not really know what is good except that God has shown us in the Bible, shown us in his word what is good. So that's a third reason. Give thanks because God is good. Then he says he's merciful. Again, verse 5. His mercy is everlasting. And this is a Hebrew word, chesed, that means his covenant love. His pledge is never going to be removed. He's never going to go back on what he promised. He is going always to be our God and to show us his mercy. Now that mercy is seen in Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. That mercy is seen in his willingness to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. And that mercy is everlasting. Again, it will always be there. It'll never be a time when God says, I've decided I'm not going to give you mercy anymore. Then another reason to give thanks is because he provides us with the truth. His faithfulness is to all generations. And his faithfulness is a faithfulness that never stops keeping us in the light, letting us know what is in the Word of God. So the Lord is good, the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is faithful to tell us the truth. And he continues, how long? Unto all generations. So give thanks for that. That it's not just those past generations that had it and we don't. Or it's not that we have it and it can't be passed on to future generations. It will be given to all generations. All right, finally, how should we express our thanks? Does the psalm give us any guidance there? How should we express our thanks? Well, again, going back to that shout. Now, when the people shouted, even when we shout, it's not just that we feel, you know, exhilarated. It's we shout because we agree. One of the things that people used to shout in church a lot, in some places they still do, is amen. And what does amen mean? Amen means yes, I agree with that. It's the truth. How should we express our thanks? By giving a shout of acclamation, of affirmation to God. God is our God. God has made us his people. God has blessed us with numerous blessings. God will never take those blessings away from us as long as we're faithful to him. Amen. That's a shout. That's the noise that is joyful in the ears of God. And of course, we're talking not like God has real ears, but that he hears. He certainly does hear and know what we make unto him. So that's the first thing. Express yourself with this affirmation. Yes, amen. And then give God joyful service. Joyful service. Thanksgiving is not just a worship service that you go to, or even a time around the table when you say grace. You express your thanks in your life. You live your life unto God. And may I say, you're not really thankful to God if you only use words. You have to thank God by the way you live, by obedience to him, by showing his love, by caring for others, by wanting them to be saved. That's joyful service to the Lord. And that's a way of thanksgiving to him. Now another thing that's here, and it goes with the idea of the joyful noise in a way, but it's with singing. With singing psalms to the Lord. And that's what Psalm 105 was mentioning especially. Sing to the Lord. Well, what kind of songs? Well, songs of testimony. Here's what the Lord has done for me, or for us. Songs of praise. All glory to God. Songs of acclamation. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Just some various kinds, but singing. And singing is the poetic expression of all that God has done, and it can't be held within, but has to come out. And it just can't come out by a simple shout, but it has to be sung. It has to be expressed with the most perfect ways that human beings can express themselves, with poetic song, with psalms. And God has blessed us wonderfully by giving us the psalms in the scriptures to sing, as well as other indications of how we ought to sing and praise him. So singing is a way to give thanks. And then by blessing his name through reverence and personal devotion to him. If you're really thankful to the Lord, then humble yourself before him and offer your heart to him. John Calvin had a motto that he followed. He said, "Here's my heart, Lord. I offer it sincerely to you." Here's my heart, offered freely and sincerely to you. And then do have that sincerity of being in your thanksgiving. And that is to say, there's no guile, there's no holding back. But Lord, I sincerely want to belong to you and to be yours in every part of my life. And when we gather for Thanksgiving, I don't know if you'll have any more services like this, but when we gather for Thanksgiving, we want to say, Lord, I want every day, all my life, to be a life of thanksgiving to you. I take this moment, I take this time, I take this service. And Lord, hear me. Please enable me by your grace to be thankful with my life. Not just behavior and obedience. I've said that's important. But just a life that belongs to God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you will make our hearts truly thankful, our lives truly thankful, our friends and group truly thankful. Oh Lord, may your thanksgiving rise up from the earth, for you ought to be thanked. You ought to be thanked because, Lord, you are our God, the God of all the earth, the God who's unfailing, the God who loves his people. And that's how we come before you today, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.